I want to compliment Tyler Church and Brother Bernice and the whole team here. Y'all have done a great job. I hope you keep doing it. It's a wonderful thing. You kids are just great. The singing has touched my heart. I believe the Holy Ghost has been here. Y'all singing has just really blessed me. I've just rejoiced. And the conversations and fellowship have been wonderful. That's one of the things. The presentations are great. All the men, godly men, that I'm blessed to have to be friends with. When I first got this topic, I didn't really want it. And I'll tell you why. I just felt inadequate. What am I going to do? I had no clue. But all the other men evidently felt that way. We got some good, humble brothers. They probably all felt that way. I just can't handle it. And then when I sat down to study, I really believe God gave me a vision. So I'm real thrilled about this. I also was smart enough to get some help from some godly women. So you guys, y'all be wide up like me, and don't be afraid to get some advice from good godly women. Now, I've got enough for you to do to keep you busy the rest of your life. So you're taking notes, and I'm real thrilled. This front bench has been good note takers. I've been watching them. They encourage me. I hope you'll take some notes. But I also hope you get the PDF file, because there's so much stuff to do that you couldn't possibly remember if I even say it all day. I can't even say it all. But you talk about some stuff to do. There's some things out there for you. Let me just say this. Here's kind of my subtitle, The Role of Young Women in the Church, and I said the profound value of a godly woman. Girls, you have no idea how valuable you are if you're a godly woman. And so the world today has got a terrible idea of womanhood. It's just terrible. Women are supposed to be the world law of beauty, physical beauty, sensuality, aggressiveness, competition with men. The feminist movement has just done a hit job on our nation. And doing that, they've almost completely obliterated the real role of what true womanhood is. There are very few blessings in both church and society of godly women. There are very few curses that are worse than an ungodly woman. And so you women have no idea what power you've got. Girls, you've got a lot of power. You're the power behind the throne. Even in a marriage, you're the power behind the throne. But let me just give you a quote. You girls, in our society, if the women could step up and be the women they should be, it would change our society. Alexis de Tocqueville, y'all heard of de Tocqueville before, pretty famous, wrote Democracy in America. And he said this in his book, Women are the Protectors of Morals. You know what, girls, this is the way it is now. There's a few super ungodly men this may not be true of. But for most men, even ungodly men, if a woman comes in their presence, they clean their conversation up, they clean their dirty jokes up. There's something about a woman that God made her that there's a kind of a reverence men have for womanhood, even though we've distorted our society. So they're very, most a man, many a good man have been made a better man by marrying a godly woman. I'm one of them. I'm a fairly good man. Fairly good. I put that fairly up there pretty good. So I would not be the man I am if I'd not been married to a godly woman. So I want to encourage you. Now listen, it's always been true. It's true today. A good woman is hard to find. A good man is hard to find. Listen, Proverbs a long time ago said, who can find a virtuous woman? The same can be said today. I hope we get a whole room full of you girls who are beginning to be and will become virtuous women. He said her price is far above what? Far above rubies. So you girls have got something to really aim for. Now listen, one sister told me this. She said what women are, godly women, and I love her expression, they're spiritual adornments to a church. I like that expression. I'm going to write that down. A good woman is a spiritual adornment to a church. So let me read you something from Proverbs. I mean, from Psalm. This is David gave a beautiful description of godly young women in Psalm 144, verse 12. Listen to this. It's a prayer here. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Old Albert Barnes, a good old commentator, had this to say about that. This is great. Listen to this. He said the comparison is a very beautiful one, having the idea of grace, symmetry, fair proportions, that on which the skill of the sculptor is most abundantly lavished. And so here's what I'm saying. Let me use some words. You don't have to write them down now, but let's all take. Here's what women bring to the church. You ready for this? Girls, aim for this. And by the way, boys, I want to give you all a charge. You protect these godly women. You love these godly women. You reverence these godly women. The world's not going to do that. The world's going to denigrate godly women. People like Hillary Clinton make fun of them. She said all they do is sit around and be homemakers and make cookies. I wouldn't eat cookies if Hillary made them. She probably can't make them. They probably have arsenic in them anyway. And she couldn't make good cookies. But see, that's what the world thinks about women. But you men, we need to uphold and defend and encourage the godly womanhood of these sisters. I charge you with that, gentlemen. I charge you with that. But girls, look at these words. Here's what women give to the church, to a society. Grace. Appropriateness. Decorum. Modesty. Wisdom. Discretion. Prudence. And other forms of spiritual beauty. That's what you aim for. Girls, aim high. If I do nothing today but give you a vision, inspire you, I'll be thrilled to have been here. Now, here's what God did when I began to study this. I said, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden, a theological concept came to my mind. Preachers are always thinking on theological concepts. And I got to think about the person and work of Christ. And all of a sudden, I knew I had it. I said, God, you're giving it to me. Okay, look. Jesus Christ had a work to do, right? He had a work he had to do. But his work would not have been effective if he had not been the person who he was. If he had not been the God-man, he could not have done the work of redemption. So what that told me was, girls, before talking about what you ought to do, I want to talk to you about who you ought to be. They're your person first. You work on your person, and the work will take care of itself. So let's look at that a little bit. And while I'm at that, let me just say this while I'm at that. As you work on your character, and you work on your personhood, if you do that, I know you all want to serve God, and I can promise you that doors of opportunity will open to you. You don't have to open those doors. God will open up for you. Let me give you an example. Timothy was a godly young man in the Bible, a godly young man. Now, we know he was shy. You look at 2 Timothy 1:7. He's probably a cowardly little fellow, about like I am. That's why I identify with him. But God used him. You know why? He had a pure heart. He behaved himself so well that the Apostle Paul was always looking for somebody to be his assistant. Oh, what an honor to be the assistant of the Apostle Paul. So he comes down to a place here, and you read this in Acts 16, too. You can just see, he said, well, now, who's a young man to be worthy to go with me? And so here's what it said about Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verse 2. He was well reported of by the brethren throughout Lystra and Iconium. So you know what Paul did? He took Timothy with him to be his assistant. Isn't that amazing? He would never dream that in a million years. What was Timothy doing? Trying to be the godly young man he ought to be. If you girls will be the godly woman you ought to be, God, in his own way, opened up door to opportunity to you. And by the way, start at home. You know, we were talking yesterday, some of the preachers were, about should children be going, or not children, y'all are young adults, should you be going with us on some of our trips overseas and stuff like that? Well, probably so, maybe someday. But listen, shine at home first. Shine at home first. That's a principle in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. They first of all preached the gospel to Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what that verse means? Charity starts at home. You serve in your church. Serve in your church. Do the things, and I'm going to give you some concrete things to do. And then God, if he wants to, will open up wider doors. But if you're not doing what's right in the church, you won't probably have a wider opportunity. You know, it says in the 16th chapter of Luke, he that is faithful in little will be also faithful in much. So start at home. Shine at home. Do what you can at home. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to warn you before I get started. Nothing I say today is going to be glamorous. Nothing I say is going to be earth-shaking. That's what's wrong with us. We always be doing something glamorous and earth-shaking. That's usually the way that it happened in the kingdom of God. We just need to do what's right. But look, now, okay, look. People are always watching you. People are watching you. You girls are getting a reputation right now. And you've been a men or two, by the way. Let's read a few scriptures on that. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Somebody give me some water, please. I'm kind of like a steam iron. I need a little steam here. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. That's also true of a young woman. That's Proverbs 20, 11. Thank you. Thank you, got it. Okay. That's fine. Thank you, sir. The point I'm making right now is, girls, people are watching you. Now, that's not, you're God watching you, too. I'll say that in a minute. But people are watching you, y'all. I watch you young women. Y'all watch me. And Judy and I talk about young women. We all parents do. So, you know, you're getting a reputation. And let me tell you, this may be an added benefit. Y'all want to get married someday, I guess, don't you? Most of you do. That's the normal thing to do. You know what? Let me tell you about behaving yourself. Now, my son, I've got six boys, all of them married. And I got some great daughters-in-law. I've just got some more daughters than what I got. I've been so blessed to have those godly daughters-in-law. One of my sons, I won't tell you who it is married to a wonderful woman. But she lived in another state. So Judy and I began to ask questions. Not that we liked the way she looked, her decorum, her behavior, her modesty. We like the way she behaved herself, but we still wanted to know, is this girl going to be good for my son? So my wife especially, she's good at this. You women are all good at this, by the way. I'm glad you mamas are. I did my little part, but you really did most of it. She began to question people about this young woman. And every one of the people said, that's the kind of daughter I'd like for my son to marry. Girls, strive to be that way. You're the kind of girl, if somebody came to ask me about you, said, yes, that's the kind of girl I want my son to marry. So you behave yourself. Watch what you're doing. People are watching you. Now, let's read a couple more scriptures about that. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So I can give you more verses, but I won't for time's sake. But listen, the point is, people are watching you. But more important than that, guess who else is watching you? God is watching you. God is watching you. Let's look at a few scriptures on that. So we ought to always live that way, shouldn't we? God's watching us. I heard a story one time about a man had a little boy with him, and he was fixing to go to a place he shouldn't be going into. So he had his little boy standing there beside him, and the daddy looked that way, and he looked that way. The little boy grabbed his coattail, and he pointed up. So you better be looking that way. So it's important that people are watching us, but girls, God's watching us too. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, God watching you, here's what this means. He doesn't only see the outward appearance. That's what we see. But God sees the inward appearance also. He sees the heart. So you remember what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is verse 7. I'll read it to you in a minute. But what happened was, we know that God sent a prophet down to Jesse's house to be a successor to King Saul. And then all these big, fine-looking men marched, and the old prophet said, boy, that just looks like a king. But the guy said, nope, nope, nope. Finally, David came. And David is the one. You know why? God wasn't only looking on his outer appearance. God looking on the heart. He's looking on your heart, too. So here's what it said in 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. And so God knew David was a man after God's own heart. So knowing that, look at this verse. Write this verse down. If you haven't written any down yet, get this one down. Proverbs 4:23. Knowing that God's looking on our heart, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you know what, sisters? I'm going to carry that one step further. That's a good verse for everybody. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. But there's one that applies this directly to women. That's over Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And by the way, girls, if you want to read something to help, read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And gentlemen, you read verse 7. You read verse 7. If you want to be a good husband, you read 1 Peter 3, 7. You girls read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. But here's what it says a woman's supposed to do. She's to cultivate, I love the good old King James English, the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's what you cultivate. Now look, it's not wrong for you to be well groomed. See, I'm not saying don't. I'm glad my wife is very attractive to me. She's not in a lascivious way, in a tasteful way. And so it's not wrong. In fact, I think it's wrong, frankly, to not be well groomed and attractive. Some people press a premium on being kind of sloppy. I don't think you ought to do that. But it's not that you can't be pretty and well-dressed. And you ought to be. But don't put the emphasis there. Put as much time or more on the spiritual part as you do on the outward part. See, our society cares nothing about the inward part. All they care about the outward part. You do the reverse. Put the emphasis on the inward part. Now, you know, talking about this God knowing someone, nobody in the world among women had been blessed more than Mary, the mother of Jesus. It was her privilege to bear the Son of God into this world. And we know probably she was very young when that happened. We know it's an extremely difficult job for her to do. Even her husband misunderstood it first. Everybody did about that virgin birth. So that's a tough thing for Mary. But God knew her heart. And her heart was revealed in its submissiveness when she said, be it unto thy handmaiden, as you said. Isn't that something? She didn't know what the future held. She didn't know how she'd get through these difficulties, but she said, I want to do what I'm supposed to do. That's the kind of heart. So, girls, it's so important for our young sisters to be women of godly character. Put that first. Now, let's look at some undesirable character traits. This may seem a strange thing to do, but you know, sometimes when you contrast undesirable traits with positive traits, it sheds more light on the positive traits. Let's look just for a moment at Proverbs. And Proverbs talks about what he called the strange woman. That's, you can read that for yourself. I'm just going to give you one verse on this, or one passage on this. But what we ought to do here is assiduously cultivate traits opposite to those of the strange woman. Let's look at these traits. First of all, we should not want to emulate. I'll read just one passage, then I'll distill some things out of this. Strange woman. I'll read Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God. Her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. So, I've distilled some things out of this. And all the other places that talk about the strange woman, let me just distill what I found here about these bad characters. One thing is, she's real flirtatious. Girls don't be flirtatious. You can be friendly, not flirtatious. Certainly don't be seductive. Our culture is filled with people who try to be seductive. They dress seductively. They act seductively. Don't do that. That's not right. I'm just distilling this now. The young Christian woman should avoid even the appearance of evil in her dress, behavior, and speech. Now, here's some bad things that this woman was guilty of, okay? Smooth-talking flattery. And gentlemen, you need to stay away from girls like that. They won't be around the church, hopefully, but they'll be out there in the world. You stay away from them. Smooth-talking flattery. Improper dress, the attire of a harlot. And you girls are pretty naive. I hate to say it to you. I've raised $6. I've got a wife. I've got mom-in-law. Girls are naive. You have no idea what turns men on. You don't know. You're not a man. So I remember one time we had a singing school one place, and we got the young men, the young women, and we got the young men to write down some things that actually caused them to have impure thoughts about dress. And then we read them to the girls, and the girls were just blown out of the water. They could not even. So you girls get some good advice from your mothers and your daddies, even your daddy especially, maybe your brothers, about how to dress. Sometimes you dress seductively. You don't even want to do that. You don't even want to. But just be careful about that. Because women, men are turned on visually. Everybody knows that. And so even godly men, they've got to work hard to keep their eyes and their thoughts in the right place. So don't make it hard on them. But this woman dressed that way on purpose. Don't ever do that. For God's sake, don't ever do that on purpose. I'm going to attract a man to look at me in an improper way by my dress. Certainly don't do that. Cunning motives. She's subtle of heart. Loudmouth speech. Clamorous. Then also Paul talked about this. He talked about some women who they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So what did I steal out of that? Restless, given to gossip, meddling in matters that they have no business in. So what you girls should do, exercise pure, quiet, and modest speech from a pure heart. I'm going to mention that again. I like that sentence. Exercise pure, quiet, and modest speech from a pure heart. Put emphasis on the inner beauty. Now, this is kind of funny. It's not funny, it's kind of tragic, but I can't help but laugh every time I read this from Proverbs. See, our society is pitiful beauty. All the magazines, pitiful beauty. And it's impossible pitiful beauty. Girls, you can't strive for that kind of beauty if you wanted to anyway. They airbrush that kind of stuff. None of us have perfect bodies. We're going to get blemishes the older we get. Look like an old prune like I do here, all wrinkled up. You put war paint on, you girl put that war paint on, and you can kind of cover some things up. You know, and I wish you'd be pretty. But, you know, that's the world places a premium on stuff like that. But this is funny. I mean, God's got a sense of humor. As a jeweler's gold and a swine's mouth. Good gravy, a gold ring and a pig's nose. So the fair woman, which is without discretion. But here's what Solomon wrote. Write this verse down. I got you one. Get this one down for sure. This is Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Isn't that good? All right. Let me go a little bit further here. Let's look at some desirable traits. I'm going to get off that undesirable stuff as fast as I can. We're going to not do that. Let's look at some desirable traits, just a few. And one of them may surprise you. One of them, young women, is courage. Courage We think about courage as a manly virtue. It's a womanly virtue. The women outdid the men in courage in Christ's passion and death. The men cut and ran. The women didn't cut and run. Courage. And we know we may face persecution. Who knows? Courage. Look at that. And I'll just give you mention that you know this. It was the women who demonstrated not being ashamed of Christ. They followed him to the cross. They had also followed him to, who was at the tomb? One's anointed body. Women, not the men. They're carrying somewhere. So courage is a virtue of a godly woman. Generosity. Generosity. Read Proverbs 31. That woman was always working with her hands to help somebody else out. And here's, this is one I love. It's from Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. There's women here, and it mentions their names. And I've got two or three daughters that are named here. This is precious to me. Joanna and Susanna are in here. And also Mary, which is my little daughter that died after 44 hours. So I feel good about this verse right here. But these women, they did, look what they did. They ministered to him from their substance. They were actually financially giving to him, finding ways to give to the cause of Christ. So generosity is another good trait. You know another good trait is? Godly women love to be in church. They love to be in church. They love to be around God's people. I got an example of that. Two examples. One of them is on the first chapter of Acts. There before the day of Pentecost. And the Bible does not have one word by accident in there. So it talks about the people who are met together, those 120 on the day of Pentecost, right before the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 1. And look what it says. The disciples were met in the upper room with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Emphasizing the women there. They like to be at church. When the Apostle Paul was used of God to spread the gospel to Europe in a kind of a burst of evangelism, and so he goes to Philippi and cannot find any men there because I guess there are not enough Jewish men to have a synagogue. So guess where Paul goes? He goes down to the riverside where some sisters were, where prayer was wont to be made. Isn't that great? Here's some women who at that time must have not had any men, but they met for prayer. Sisters be prayer warriors. I'm going to mention some prayer warriors. I don't know. You know, I just love prayer, and I love prayer warriors. And in my ministry, and Judy and I are together in this, we both named some precious saints through the years. I've known many women who pray for me in a special way, and other ministers also. So you have a prayer ministry. Sister Annie Henson, she's a legend up in our part of the country. She's an amazing person. She's an amazing person. I've got to write a book about her someday. I think John Horton knows a little bit about her probably. She's out of Hornwall, Tennessee. She's as poor as Job's old turkey, and that's pretty poor. She lived in a house, a shack that had a tin roof on it. No indoor plumbing. You talking about a prayer warrior? She prayed for me. No telling how many times I've been blessed because she prayed for me. Sister Sadie Beaver, when I first began to preach down at Pine Hill Church, a mighty prayer warrior. My mother-in-law, Patty McAvella, a mighty prayer warrior. Sisters, be prayer warriors. Be prayer warriors. I believe God hears the prayer of godly women. I know He does. So be prayer warriors. Okay, look. Now, girls, you know what I'm going to say about this. Here's your assignment for the rest of the summer. I'm serious about this. You get your notebook. You get your Bible. You get to praying. You read Proverbs chapter 31, 10 to the end of it. And you study it. You study it. That's the virtuous woman. You study that. That's a good assignment. You can read. You can hear about like me talk about it. But you know what's really going to be real to you is thinking you make your own. See, it's good to hear a preacher preach, but when you make it your own, it's yours. It's yours. I challenge you, sisters, every one of you, you get that notebook out and that pencil and that Bible and you get to praying and you start the virtuous woman and write the characteristics down and you work the rest of your life to emulate those in Proverbs 31. Now here's what I've distilled some things out of that. This is just going to be hitting the surface because you're going to do a lot of studying anyway. You're going to beat me on this one. But I'm going to tell you something I got out of just my little study of Proverbs 31. Trustworthiness. Dependability, industriousness, she's not lazy, kindness, compassion, selflessness, walking in the fear of God. Now, there's something I want to say. This may be one of the most important things I'm going to say. If you look at these qualities, almost all of those are inward qualities. They're directed toward God instead of man. Hear Juan say that. Girls, you're not the only ones. Men do the same thing. Too many of us try to find our identity, our basic identity, in outward things. Brother Stephen Boyd even mentioned eating disorders like anorexia. You know why that's true? Because girls have they want to be physically beautiful. And our culture values that. And I find my value in that. I'm not as pretty as so-and-so is. My teeth are not as pretty. I'm too heavy. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, forget that kind of stuff. Forget that kind of stuff. Do the best you can and work with what God's given you. But listen, don't find your value in anything outward. Everything outward can be taken away from you. You can have a wreck. You can have a wreck. You can have an illness and lose your beauty. You can have chemotherapy and lose your hair even. Even be as attractive as you can be. Don't find your identity in a boyfriend. You can lose a boyfriend. And we know in our culture, even young people have committed suicide because they had a relationship crisis. You're not going to find your identity in a boyfriend. You're not going to find in society's approval, like being popular. Forget about it. Don't be obnoxious, but don't. Listen, find your identity in things that cannot be changed, and that is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do that. Find your identity. That's your rock. And no, whatever happens outwardly then, so what? I can weather that. But that's important. I wish I could say it even better. If some of you guys can help me do it. But don't put your emphasis on outward things. Do it on inward things. Just you and God. You and God. You can take the whole world on. Okay? Now, I'm going to talk about some practical matters. I got a lot of help from my dear Judy and some other sisters on this. And so I'm going to spend the rest of my time on practical matters. I'm going to read a paragraph here, and then I'm going to go right to it. So this is important. When I'm reading this, I don't want to miss a word. Since the purpose, what's your purpose, sister? What's your primary purpose? Your primary purpose is a support role. That does not denigrate you at all. That does not subordinate you at all. It's just how God made you to be. And some brothers talk about we get a manual with our car. And so this is our manual for you. And women will find their satisfaction in this, deep satisfaction in this. Your role is a supportive role, a dependent role. Why was Eve made? Why was Eve made? To be a helper to Adam. You're not a leadership role. That does not mean you cannot use your brains. You ought to use your brains. But most of us men married above ourselves. I think Jim Bidwell told me he did. I know I did. I married above myself. Pretty smart to do that. Glad I didn't marry below myself. But anyway, sisters, listen. Listen. We live in your role in church is not a leadership role in church. You have an important role, a very important role. We live in a society when they talk about women preachers and women this and that. That's not at all biblical. But that does not mean your role is any less at all. Let me read you what this sister wrote. Since the purpose of woman at the beginning was to be a helpmate for man, that's a hyper appropriate for man, we are in a support position. Betty Jo the same way. Karen's that way. Judy's that way. Donna's that way. I can name a lot of preacher wives, godly women, that we just blessed so much. Had this kind of women. We're to help, to encourage, and support. If you get married, help your husband. Support your husband. Encourage your husband. I've told this before. Listen. So there are two words. This is not really, well, it's not off the subject. There are two words I like this a lot. And Andrew Huffman mentioned this man that has this ministry in his address. It's love and respect. And if you look at the two words love and respect, you summed up what it says about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. A husband is to love his wife. A wife is to reverence or respect her husband. And girls, I got a trade secret for you. I'm going to give you a trade secret. It won't cost you anything extra. You men will have to have in on this one. If I know my wife behind me, and I almost always know that, even though I'm a high-maintenance husband, I like to hear it a lot. But when I know my wife behind me, I, even as skinny as I am, can whip the whole world one hand tied behind my back. There's a line in Pride and Prejudice. Who ever seen Pride and Prejudice? Isn't that great? I've seen it a dozen times. I can quote it when we're going through it. There's a line in there that defines me and my wife. It's when Lizzie's talking to her sister Jane, and they're talking about old D'Arcy. And she said, "What do you care what he thinks anyway?" She said, "Oh, I don't know. There's just something about it. I cannot bear to think he's anywhere in the world thinking ill of me. That's why I'm about Judy. I can't bear to be anywhere in the world knowing she thinks ill of me. But when I know she's not thinking ill of me, bring him on, buddy. Come on, world, let's go." So, sisters, you can either cut the knees off your husband, or you can be the best supporter he got. When you start to support him, he will achieve the things he cannot possibly achieve otherwise. You are the power behind the throne. God made you that way. So anyway, here's what she wrote. "Since the purpose of women at the beginning was to be a helpmate for man, we are in a supporting position. We're to help, encourage, support. We should look for ways to serve or help in our homes, churches, neighborhoods. It's our very nature. I love the way she said that. It's our very nature to help and support. So when you cultivate that, you'll be blessed. Okay, let's look at some practical matters now. And this is where I hope you'll get the PDF. Let's just go point. I'm trying to go too quickly because you can't write it all down anyway. But I hope, listen, let me give you a challenge. Girls, get two things right now out of this, will you? Maybe three that you're going to do. I'm going to have so many suggestions that you'd have to be the energizer buddy to get it all done. But that ought to open up vistas. Vistas of things you can do. And we need for young women to step up to the plate too, by the way, girls. Step up to the plate. We got an older generation in our churches that are working like all get out. And I've watched the young women here this week. You've done a good job. Keep it up here. Don't let the older women bear all the burden. Don't do that. You get in there young. Get in there and get it while you're now. Help them out. Learn from them. Let them be your mentors. And while I'm thinking of mentor, I got to say something else too. Listen, I want to say this before I get started with practical matter. There are two ways that you sisters ought to look at other women. Okay? Every one of you ought to pick out an older woman to be your mentor. Maybe your mama. That'd be the best. Get you a mentor, someone you respect. But guess what? You're older than somebody else. You'd be a good example of those beyond that are lower than you are. Even some of you girls, see, little bitty girls look up to you girls, right? You teenage girls, the little bitty girls look up to you like you're little heroines. So you got two dimensions. You're being mentored by somebody, and you're consciously, by example, and by paying attention to them and teaching them, you're mentoring those younger than you are. And that's why God made the church. Aren't you glad God made the church the way he did? I love the way God made the church. We're just integrated. Ages just get along with each other, don't they? That's what we mesh. We support each other. But three things at least. Now I'm going to give you some biblical example first, then get down to where the rubber meets the road. Rebecca waters the camels, Genesis 24. Remember that? She got a husband out of that. She's just a little maid, and she's down there going to get some water for the camels. And so the old servant makes a prayer. Lord, let the young woman who says, not only will I get water for your camels. And so that's hard work. Those big old, like Lynn talked about how strong she used to be, David. That's farm work. Get those big old, whatever they carry that water in, put in the trough and water all the camels. God put that in there for a reason. To show how industrious she was. She became a bride of Isaac. The widow of Zarephath sustains Elijah, 1 Kings 17. The old prophet of God, she sustained him. The little Israelite maid helped Naaman, 2 Kings. The Bible's full of this. Mary and Martha, good old Mary and Martha, extended hospitality to Jesus Christ. You can extend hospitality to Jesus Christ. You say, hold the deal, brothers. That brother Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven. I know that. Let me tell you something. Sister Theda Lawrence is a sweet sister, Brother Billy Lawrence's wife. She's an invalid now, cannot do this anymore. But she's been a servant. She's been a hospitable woman. I've eaten at her home so many times around her table. And she tells me, Brother Zach, I got to thinking, oh, I just love to make an apple pie for Jesus Christ. And she wanted to do that. She said, God, show me you can. As much as you do it to one of these little ones, you do it to me. She said, I'll make an apple pie. I made one for Jesus Christ. You can do the same thing. We serve Jesus Christ by serving each other. Lydia opens up her home to Paul and others. She must have been a woman of wealth. And so she opened up her home to Paul, his entourage, down there at Philippi, and the church came out of that. Isn't that amazing? Priscilla helps her husband Aquila. Girls, know your Bible. Let me say this before I forget it. Don't only study, girls, don't only study about womanhood. Study the whole Bible. Because you need to know the Bible as much as your husband does. The Bible does not make it an accident when it mentions not only Aquila instructed the Apostle Paul in the doctrine more perfectly. His wife Priscilla joined him in that, not in a public setting, but in the home. She knew her Bible. Girls, know your Bibles. You've got to teach children, haven't you? You've got to know how to live in this world. You need to be Bible students as much as the men are. That's the truth. So let that be a challenge to you. In our family, and Lynn could corroborate this, I guess, because she's a pretty good family historian, but they had my mama had a grandma, and they called her Grandma Williams. Now, part of this I can recommend is part I can't. Grandma Williams was a half Cherokee Indian. And so, but she was a Bible scholar. And preachers would always go up and talk to her on the porch and ask her Bible questions. Now, the part I can't recommend is she smoked a corncob pipe. I don't recommend that. No corncob pipes, but you need to know your Bibles. Phoebe is a servant of the church at Cenchrea. The fourth chapter of Philippians, Euodia, and Syntyche. That's just a few examples of women in the Bible who are incredibly useful. Now, put your seatbelt on. I won't go too fast, but I'm going to speed up a little bit. I'm going to give PowerPoints only, just points. These are suggestions. Write three of them down and do them. Ready? Cook supper for your mama once a week. Be happy to do the extra chore that he's doing without being asked. Be looking for things. Get that mindset, I'm looking for something to do. Not getting by as least possible resistance, you know. All these are practical suggestions coming from mamas. So they're more on the road than I was on this. That's why I got some help from them. Willingly get that drink of water for a toddler or play a game, tie shoes, read a book for the 100th time to younger siblings. You know, one thing, you got a pretty big family. We found out the older kids got to help out the younger kids, hadn't they? Kind of like those old one-room schoolhouses. You had 8th graders teaching 6th graders, stuff like that. Look for something to do. Write letters to grandparents who live away. Send get-well cards and birthday cards to church members. I know some people have a ministry of this. I know some young women have a ministry of this. It's a blessing. Call someone from church who's going through a hard time or just lonely. You can use those old cell phones for something besides other. Just goofing off, can't you? Visit sick or shut-in church members. They love to see a young person. You know what? We've gone to nursing homes a lot, and the best medicine in those nursing homes, sometimes we take our kids. I know you got to be careful sometimes with germs, stuff like that. But we take our kids, and those people, just their faces light up, don't they? They just light up. Use your youth in a good way. You know, young people help out with old people. Kid, I'll tell you something. When you're young, your youth is pretty enthusiastic. But when you get older, you tend to become pessimistic if you don't be careful. And so here's why I'll have to give Isaac credit and Timothy credit. Sometimes I have a church situation that's kind of a problem. I just get down. I'll talk to them about it, and the Isaac will say, oh, Dad, that's not all that bad. And just saying that, Gus, changes me. Just him saying that changes me. I say, yeah, you're right, that's not all that bad. We can handle this. But see, coming from my perspective, so young people, you energize the church. You by being youthful, godly youthful. And you talk about a godly person who is, a young person who's godly. You can't imagine what encouragement there's for us who are older. I don't want to pin a bouquet on. I don't want to embarrass him. I guess I'm pretty bad about that anyway. Old John Piles, he came up to me and told me how much he'd been memorizing. Man, listen, John, you made my day. Shoot, you made my whole week. Memorize Romans 8. Won't y'all memorize Romans 8? Ephesians 2. Won't y'all memorize Ephesians 2? Come tell me about it, too. So, man, that's great. A young man and a word of God, enthused about it. Speak to the older ones at church and to visitors and to those who are quiet or alone before you talk to your friends. We talk to your friends, but don't run to them first. Let's get our eyes looking around. Who's shy over here that needs to be encouraged? It's not in our normal group. That's the person I need to go over and encourage. If you have a specialty in cooking, use it to help others. Take a loaf of banana bread or cookies or casserole to a new mother, sick folk, or the elderly, or one who looks discouraged. I've got to tell you a little joke about that. It's not really a joke. It wasn't funny when it happened. It's funny now. But one time we were going to Harmony Hill, And so we're in this van. It's such a hell of a beach. I'm sitting beside me. And so we're tooling along the van. And Judy's behind me in a car. So Judy's always been real good about getting us breakfast when we're on a trip like that. So such a hell of a beach to cut this banana nut bread. And so I said, man, this is good. I said, in fact, that's the best banana nut bread I've ever eaten. I can't wait to talk when we get gas and tell my wife, I don't appreciate my wife enough. I don't compliment her enough. So I want to tell her how great that banana nut bread is. We stopped. I walked over my halo. I got my halo adjusted. I said, come here, honey. Come here. She walked over, critical. I said, honey, that's the best banana nut bread you've ever made. She said, Melissa Bishop made that bread. Man, I was in deep. I tried to tell her, I said, well, you make better spaghetti. She does. You've never eaten her spaghetti. I said, I'll give up, man. I put my foot in my mouth. That wasn't funny that day, by the way. Oh, listen, girls, this is so important. It's be one of the first to clean up at church and church dinners. You know, sometimes you get through eating, and you want to talk to your friends. I know how it is. And good gracious, you forget that somebody got to clean this place up. Help with hospitality in your own home. When you have company, prep, like extra cooking, cleaning, changing sheets, even add flowers or welcoming note or scripture to their room. Drive an older person to a doctor's appointment or grocery shopping or clean their house. Take a balloon to a sick child. Ask your pastor how you can help. Now, you know what? Like I said, there's nothing glamorous about anything I've written. But a godly young woman will find solid satisfaction doing those. And even better than that, she's going to hear in her heart, well done, my good and faithful handmaiden. All right, let's say a few more high spots. Okay, girl, look. You don't know what God has for you in the future. Some of you may be preachers and deacons' wives, but all the women should emulate the qualities of them anyway. So let's look at one place here in the New Testament, over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it's so important for a preacher to have a good wife. I've seen preachers who have been hindered by having a wife that wasn't what she should be. But I know many men who've had godly wives, like the ones I mentioned even here today. And our ministry could not be anything like its men if it had not been for godly women. So you don't know what God may do. You know, we got a young man there in our church that's exercising the ministry. And his wife, she had no idea. Had no idea God's going to call her up to preach. She's going to be a good one, by the way, I think. I believe she got what it takes to be a good preacher wife. But it shocked her. That's not what she bargained for. You know what? You may not bargain for it either. But God's sovereign. You might marry some old boy. If that's the last thing in my mind, he can wind up being a preacher. Yeah, oops. Oops. That could happen. So you need to be prepared anyway. We ought to always just kind of. But anyway, just briefly says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. There's a volume here in these few words. In verse 11 here. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Well, that's about summed it up. I could talk forever, but I will. I think that summed it up. Number one, develop your character. Don't try to get a big role for yourself. Trust the Lord. If you will be who you ought to be, then God will bless you to do what you ought to do. I love you. Listen, sisters, I can't overemphasize it. I wish I could do it. You have no idea how valuable you are. You have no idea how rare a godly woman is. You have no idea. So I hope we have a whole generation of godly. If our churches have revival, that'll be a part of that revival, I guarantee you. We won't be without it. We won't be without it. So I love you so much. May God bless you.